It's wonderful to be here this morning, and just wonderful to see Rashaan and Sarah on the platform. Just wonderful. It's great to see our kids. Thank you very much. That's better. It's great to... You don't want me under a spotlight. It's enough to see me in normal light, isn't it? And it's great to see our children raising up, and that's our heart's desire, to raise up the generations. And you sing, we sang that song, "Come on, come on, let's tell the world." But that's our children too. We need to be growing them in the things of God so that they will grow up and they will stand and take their place. You know, it's very... God's been speaking much to me about taking our place and knowing who we are and where we are. And we've been going through the wonderful book of Deborah in our Woman to Woman. So if you don't know about Deborah, you need to read her. But just don't read it. Read it. And allow the Lord God to, by His Spirit, to absorb it into your heart, because it's a very powerful word. And you see, we need to know our place and we need to take our place. And this morning, we're here because we love God. And yes, we love to catch up with one another, but our main purpose is because we want to be with God. But sometimes we're here, but are we here? Are we really here in our hearts? Are we really absorbed and are we ready to take in what it is that God by His Spirit is saying to us? That's what's important. And many times, you know, we're found in places that isn't where God wants us to be, or we make choices that God doesn't want us to make. And so choices and decisions in our lives are very, very important. And you know, even before we're born, there are choices that are made for us that are not necessarily the best things for us. I know in my life there were many choices made that were not good. But I praise God that He turned those things around. So whatever the choice, and the choices that we make have an impact on the rest of our lives. The choices we make can be either life or death. The choices we make can either be praise and glory or brokenness and dishonour. And this morning I want to talk about a man who experienced all those things, a man who's a very favourite of mine, and that's David. Who was David the shepherd boy. And I'm going to be speaking out of 2 Samuel, much of David's life, so you can read those scriptures yourself, and finishing up in Chronicles where David ended his life. But I've always found David to be a fascinating person in the Word of God, because he experienced so much even in his young life. There's so much about him that we wouldn't normally expect to see written about a king. I watched a really old movie the other day. Not often I get the time to sit and watch a movie, but it was something that I'd taped some time ago, and I had little time, so I sat and watched it. And it's not important who or what, but it was about a king, and it was about something the king was doing that the people didn't really like. He wanted to marry a woman who was not of royal blood and who had been divorced. And so the government and the people wouldn't allow him to do it. And later on, what I'm getting to is that there was a document written wanting to express all of these so-called flaws of his life. But it was put aside because you don't write those things about a king. Now, today we live in a world where, sadly, too much is exposed. We know that people... We talk about freedom of choice, but sometimes there can be freedom of slander. And it's not always good, and it doesn't mean we don't need to see and know the truth. But we live in a world today where man wants to expose all of the innards of people's lives. And we see that we're living in a society where we're losing respect. And that's because there is too much said and exposed. In the wrong circles, we see that, you know, even our Prime Minister is not... got any authority or respect, because people can draw funny pictures of his face and say all sorts of things, and we just seem to accept it today. But in the Bible times, David became a very exposed man. But we see that he was a shepherd, a hunter, a warrior, a general, a king, a poet, a champion. He was a ladies' man, he was a musician, he was a prophet, he was a worship leader. And later on, we find that he became an adulterer. But David was an incredible person. But you see, in the very beginning of his life, David was where God had called him to be, not only physically, but in his heart. And we know that because David's desire was to serve God, wasn't it? And even as a young boy, he went out and he was very interested about what was going on. And he went out with food to his brothers and came across where the Philistines had the children of Israel captive. And this great Goliath was there threatening the army. And David so much wanted to be a part of that. And we see that that was God's plan too, because there is no way anybody could have done what David did, let alone a young boy, a young man of slight build. And so we know that even to the point where King Saul finally agreed for David to go out into battle against this giant and wanted him to wear his armour. But David, with the wisdom of God, said no, he wouldn't wear it because it would encumber him. Because David knew he had to use the things that were familiar to him. And you see, that's the first thing we need to learn from David. God wants us to know where we are, why we're there, and to use the things that God has equipped us with, not things that belong to another person, not things that others use. And so David knew that he would be encumbered with this armour because it was not made for him. And so we do not step into somebody else's spiritual clothing. We stand in what God has equipped us with. So David went out, and we know the story. He threw the stone with his little sling and hit Goliath in the middle of the forehead. Down he went, and then he cut off his head. Pretty gory, isn't it? But that was absolutely awesome. And then it tells you us that David, we can either look and think, well, David was an opportunist wanting to raise himself up. But no, we see that he was someone who really wanted to stand in the power and the authority of the Lord his God. Because we know about David, don't we? He wrote many of the Psalms, and as a shepherd boy, he'd sit out under the trees, under the stars, protecting the sheep, singing praises to God. And many of the Psalms are written there. And just beautiful Psalms that David wrote. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You, Lord, are my shepherd, I shall not want. And so David talks about his love for God and how God leads him and guides him and provides for him. And so we can claim that too, that that's what God does for us. So it was not out of a love for himself, but it was a love for God that David acted and moved. And then we see David was serving God fully. He had to make many choices in his life. Later on then, he'd been anointed to be the king. But we know that Saul, sadly, because of bad choices, bad decisions, Saul started to lose his mind and became demonized. And so now here we see, as we go on through David's story, this man that he loved and that he respected and wanted to serve before God was trying to have him killed. And no matter what Saul did to David, he never ever touched him. He never rebuked him. He respected him. There was an opportunity at one time where David went into a cave where Saul and his men were lying and sleeping, and David wouldn't even touch the hem of Saul's garment. Now, that wasn't so much just an honour to Saul. That was a brokenness before a God, knowing that if we do things, we must do them God's way. Because if we make choices out of our own strength, it will not only fail, but it will bring destruction. And it's very important that we know that. It's important we know whose we are, and it's important we know where we are and why we are. And once we know that in the fullness, then we can trust God. You see, our choices need to be made out of a heart that is surrendered to God, not out of our own mind, but out of our spirit. We need to be people who seek the will of God in every area of our life and know then that his spirit, God will not leave you alone. He will not leave us lacking. He will not leave us confused. He's not a God of confusion. He says, ask of me and I will give you. Ask of me, I'll give you wisdom. Ask of me, I'll give you the nations. Ask of me, I'll give you whatever is according to my will for your life. But that's the thing. That's the key. We need to know God's will for our lives. Now, of course, we can't, you know, I've been a Christian for 54 years. And when I became saved, I was learning about God and really loving the fact that there was a God who loved me and who knew me when I felt nobody else did. But I certainly didn't know his will for the whole of my life. But I learned to trust him for today. And I still trust him for today. And I trust God's will for my life today. I praise him for yesterday. I have an anticipation and excitement for tomorrow, but I trust him and his will for me today. And I seek his will that I might make the right choices today. And that's all God asks of us. And so we read, and some people can be very critical of David, and they think, well, when he made good choices, he was in God's will, and rah, rah, he was man, God's man. But when he made bad choices, he was no longer. But you see, even when we make bad choices and decisions, you're still God's daughter. You're still God's son. And while it grieves the heart of God, he doesn't cast us aside, as we see. David's life became rather complicated. And as I said, he had to run away and hide because Saul was out to kill him. But David didn't feel fear. He trusted God, even in the face of death, even in the face of adversity and slander. He trusted God. David made choices that really showed clearly who he served and why he loved his Lord. But then there came a time later on where David lost his way. Now, in the essence of things, it looked as if David was really reigning. He'd been out fighting wars, winning wars, and he was a hero in the sight of his people. He was now king, and he'd won many victories. But you see, that's the time when we need to be very careful. When we're in a place where everything is going well, when we're in a place where we've achieved really good things, we've broken things, that's when we need to be careful. Because the flesh is so ready to come in and tell you what a good person you are. The flesh is so ready to come in and say, look, you know all that, you don't need to study anymore. You don't need to wait on God anymore. You know it all. I've read the Bible right through. I know what it says. But you see, reading the Bible right through doesn't mean you've absorbed the Word of God right through inside here. That takes time. And you see, you could spend a year on one chapter really absorbing what God is really saying to you. But you see, we can't do that the way we're set up. So we need to read and read and reread. And each time we read, God brings a light, something to us that we may have read but we've never really seen before. The heart of God, the precepts, the principles, what it's really saying to us. And so David was in this place of feeling pretty good with himself. And so he's at springtime, and it's a time now when the king leads his men off to war. And that's where we start in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And so David decides he's feeling pretty happy with himself. He's feeling pretty pleased with himself and pretty relaxed. So he decides to make a choice, and he says, I'm going to stay home and relax and send someone else out to fight for me. Bad choice. And you see, David didn't realise the consequences of that choice. Now, we know then that David went on and had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And when we read the scriptures, we think that's the big thing. But you see, the big fault was when he chose to stay at home. He chose not to be where God wanted him to be. That's when we get into trouble. When we allow the flesh to determine what we're going to do, rather than allow the Spirit of God to determine what God chooses for us. If David had have gone out into that battle, the battle was won, he would have still stayed in his right standing before God. But he chose to allow the flesh to dictate to him, and he stayed home and relaxed and rested and let others go out. So he became rather full of himself. And then we know, of course, David then went out one evening and looked out of his balcony, and he saw this beautiful young woman, and he was taken with her. You see, idleness can lead us into sinfulness. When we become idle, now that doesn't mean that we're not to have times of rest and relaxation, but they're properly appointed times. And then it's important how we relax. We don't relax by watching some R-rated movie on television. We don't relax by going out and gambling or doing something else. We relax by allowing the presence of God to fill us. Yes, doing something we might like to do with our family or whatever, but things that all are in accord with how God has called our lives. And so we need to be living and giving all honour, all glory, all praise to you, God, forever in every situation. If you don't feel comfortable to take Jesus with you, don't go. Don't be in that position. And so David saw this beautiful woman and he sent someone to find out about her and then later had her brought to him. Now, you see, we look and we see movies make beautiful love stories out of this, but you see, David took hold of a woman that wasn't his. And because he was king, she needed to obey him. Now, I don't know. Bathsheba obviously became to love David, but if he'd not sent for her, she would have remained as she was. So he took something that wasn't his. He violated her. And so David entered now out of God's choice and into the choice of the flesh. And then after all this had happened, I'm sure David thought, what have I done? What have I done? I wish this would go away. And then, of course, Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, came back home on leave. And so, as we do when we sin, when we do something wrong, we try to fix it up, don't we? We don't go to God and confess it straight away. We try to fix it up. And so David tried to convince this man, who was a man of honour, to go straight away home to his wife, thinking if he laid with her, because Bathsheba was now with child, that if he laid with her, it would all be fixed up. He would think the child was his and David would be off the hook. But you see, God doesn't work like that. Do you know that when we make bad choices and those choices lead us to sin, we have to face the consequences. I want you to know today that there is nothing but nothing that God will not call you to face the consequence of. God will make us face it. He'll make us look at it. No matter what, we cannot get out of it. No matter what it is. And you see, today there are many people who have done things to someone they've loved or fallen out in relationships, and we think, okay, well, that's okay. I'll just get on with my life. I can live without those people. No, the Bible says we must forgive. We must forgive and we must put things right, or things will not go well with us. So if we want to walk in the freedom of God, if we want to walk in his power, the call is us. We're the ones who have been cleansed. We're the ones who have been saved. We're the ones who have been given the power and the authority to go and break those things open. And that's a choice that we need to make according to the will of God. And so David tried to get this man to go. And of course, being the soldier he was, no, he wanted to be with his men. No way was he going to do that. He felt that was dishonourable. He wanted to go and be with his men. So he wouldn't fit in. And you see, God wouldn't let that happen because that was a cover-up. And God is not into cover-up. God is into exposure. And you see, we often think, oh, God, that's not fair. But you see, it's for our own goodwill. It is for our best. Because God knows that we cannot grow if the truth is not exposed. We cannot grow if we don't face the truth about ourselves. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We can't live a lie. We need to know the truth about the things of God. But I need to know the truth about me. What did David say? Search me and try me, O God, and know my heart and see if there are any wicked ways in me and anxieties and release me from these things. That was the heart of David. And so then he went on and he sent this man out to the front line and so he would be killed. So David would be free. And you see, he thought that he was going to be let off. And a year later, Bathsheba had David's baby. And David thought he'd got away with it because he was the king. Now, I've got no doubt that there was struggles because we can't have peace. We can pretend. I hear people say to me, oh, look, they've got off scot-free. What about me? No, they haven't. You know, late at night when everyone's asleep and the house is quiet and you lie there and you can't sleep and this turmoil goes over and over and over. And if we're really where God wants us to be, if we're really filled with God and desiring to fulfill his promise and his word for us, we will then wait for the morning and go and fix up whatever and deal with that, whatever it is. But you see, if we just pass it off and think, oh, thank God it's morning, it's all over, and get up and busy ourselves, it's going to be there for another late night or early hour in the morning, and it'll just churn away and churn away until we deal with it. Now, I've got no doubt that David had his difficult times about this, but he did nothing. But God did. God sent the prophet Nathan to David, and he told him a story. And he said to David, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you have despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." Now, what a shock David got when this man came and stood before him. But David, being king, had a range of options. He didn't have to listen to this. He could have just dismissed it and declared that Nathan was not to tell another person. He could have commanded Nathan to be silent, forbidden him to speak. David could have had Nathan killed, and Nathan knew that. And he had to know who he was and where he was, Nathan, so that he could go and confront the king. It's not an easy thing to go and confront someone. And sometimes, you know, God lays something on our heart about someone that may be our family member or a friend. And you see, God says, "Trust me, go and say what I've given you to say, and I will take care of the rest." But we squirm and we don't want to do it. But you see, if God wants us to do it, we need to go and speak the truth in love. Give it as God has given it to us. The same as if someone has something to come and say about us, we need to be prepared to receive that as God speaking. Because usually it'll just click and we think only God could know that. And David knew that only God could know what he had done, and he had spoken through his servant. Sin that it is very nasty, and it really churns away at our lives, as I said. And it's nasty. But you see, the truth confronts it, and then we have a choice to confess that sin, and it breaks its power, its shame, and its humiliation over our lives. So we see that David had lived with this sin and this turmoil for a year, maybe more. He buried it and tried to get on with his life, but it didn't work. And then we see David's response in Psalm 51, verse 1. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." David confessed to God and cried on him for his mercy. He was guilty and he knew it, and he knew that only God could free him from the bondage and the pain and the turmoil that he was in. David grasped the seriousness, and you know, it was a relief. Have you ever been in a situation where you've done or said something and you churn and churn, and then when it's out, it's a relief? We know there's going to be consequences, but even facing the consequences, it's something can be done. It's like a pain. It's like a pain that we have. We know the pain is there, but we have to work with the pain to release the pain, and then it's going to be over. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place." So David speaks here of the depth of his sin and the things that he knew he'd done against his God. David made an awesome choice now. He had chosen to be deceitful. He had chosen death in the sense of his relationship with God, but now he chooses life. Now he chooses freedom. Now he chooses deliverance. And it's the only way to be. And while it's unpleasant for a time, it is very necessary. And you see, I really believe God wants to challenge each one of us, included, that we are not to hide things. We must reveal them. We must bring them to God, but also go to the person. You know, it's interesting, I speak to a lot of people and they talk about a lot of things, but people find it very hard to say, forgive me. People find it very hard to say, I love you, or to receive someone's love. They can talk about sexual things and money and all sorts of things, but when you get down to the intimacy of love, they find it very, very hard. You see, God wants to break that within us. He wants us to be people who forgive, who receive forgiveness, who say, I love you. Sometimes we can say, bless you, and it can just be like a word. But you see, unless you've really been broken in the innermost part of your being, that you can receive this love and give this love, the bless you means nothing. But if you say it with a heart that is really yielded to the things of God, if you know who you are, where you are and why you are, to say bless you is an anointing of God's Spirit on another person. God wants us to be free in here. It's easy to look free outside, but it's not so easy in here. But God wants us to have that bondage broken in our lives, broken over our lives, so that we can be free. God wants to put his truth in us, the truth that we cleave to, that gives us power to resist the desires that would lead us away from him. In Psalm 51:7, David goes on and says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. So David's saying, take away the pain, take away the old, and renew me. So each time we bring confession, each time we choose to choose God, we choose to turn away from that thing, either better not to do it at all, but to have done it and then turn away and seek God, there is a cleansing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Now, God doesn't want us to do that once a year or once a month or every Sunday when we take communion. God wants us to do that every day. Whenever the situation comes, to deal with it straight away. And as we grow, the more we grow in the Lord, we need to be doing that quicker and quicker. Communion is a wonderful, intimate time of coming and communing with our God and really praising him. It's a time of celebration. And yes, if there are things in our hearts to deal with them, but don't store them up all week and come and deal with them at communion. That's not what it's about. We're here to celebrate him and celebrate the life that he's given us and the freedom he's given us to enable us to do those things. So we need to be saying, God, create this spirit in me. Restore to me the glory of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit that will sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from the blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, that my tongue will sing of your righteousness. So here we see the shame, waste and death that was experienced by David is now being dealt with. But you see, there were still consequences to David's actions. David's firstborn child died, and we see that later on in David's life, his dearly beloved son Absalom turned away from him. His daughter was defiled sexually, and many things happened in David's life. And you see, there are consequences to our actions, and we need to remember, particularly as parents, that our actions greatly affect our children. Not because God cast those things on them, but because they see and watch what we do. And we need to be people that are seen to be what we say. And our children live closely with us and they watch us and they need to see that we are who we say we are. Yes, we make mistakes and we make wrong choices, but the minute we see that, we need to put it right, confess it, and apologise or ask forgiveness, and then we will be free. We need to see this great God who has given us Jesus Christ. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has come to break our chains and to set us free. Don't live in bondage. There is no need for us to be in bondage. You see, it's pride that holds us back. And we think we can outsmart God, but we can't. We cannot fool him. He sees our hearts. You know, I've said it before. When a man measures for a crown, he measures our head. But when God measures, he measures the heart. God sees our heart. It's not what comes out of our mouth, because we can speak lies. God measures our heart. He sees the deception in us, in our heart. So we need to be walking very close to God, that there is no deception. There is no desire to deceive him. And then we see that that's not the end of the story, that David suffered much, very much, because of the lie, because of the bad choice, because of the idleness, because he was not in the right place at the right time. He was not a bad thing, man, but he made a bad choice. But you see, God had a purpose for him. And even when we make bad choices, even if we fall into sin and we have to face the consequences, it does not change God's purpose for our lives. That's the big thing we need to remember, church. That God has a purpose for you and he will keep it. But he wants us to yield to him and yield to it. So that then later on, God did an awesome thing with David. We know that David became part of the lineage of Christ. How awesome is that? But I just want to go on and just share with you very quickly about the end of David's life before that. And we pick it up in Chronicles, and you can read that in chapter 28 and 29. This awesome life of David. David, at the end of the trail, as far as his life is concerned, he's now 70 years old and he has reigned as king for 40 years. He's about to pass the torch to the next generation. And is that not our desire, to pass the torch, the mantle, to our next generation, to your children and then to your children's children's children? And you see, it depends on the choices we make. It depends on the commitment we make. It depends on the way we submit and honour God, whether that church torch will be shining brightly to pass on. David had a desire that he would build the temple of the Lord, but God said no. It was to be Solomon that would build the temple. Now David could have spat the dummy and said, oh, it's not fair, God, I really repented, I put everything right in my life, I've gone on to serve you, I've served you in victory, I've made you a great name in the nation, why can't I build it? But no, you see, David back then learned a very important lesson. When he came to God and he was broken, there was a breaking in David that maybe hadn't been broken before. Because you see, right through the Psalms we read that David suffered with depression. And that's why we see in the Psalms he wrote these things, and we see in Psalm 139 where he talks about how fearfully and wonderfully he's made, and God by his Spirit reaffirms in David how it doesn't matter where David goes, whatever he suffers, that God is with him. That God is with him. And then in we see in Psalm 31, verse 11, I think it is. No, it's not. I'll get it in a minute. Psalm 30, 10 and 11. He says, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. So we saw that God turned all of his sorrow, all of his brokenness into joy. So David was not about to be arguing with God. Rather, he realised that that was God's will, and so he did everything he could to assist his son before his ending. And so David had a dignified ending, a life that pleased the Lord. Instead of focusing on what God had not done in his life, David reflected back on what God had done. What do you look at the end of each day? Do you moan and whinge and whine about the things that you wanted that God didn't give you? Or do you look at what you have and give him thanks and praise? Do you think about the disasters in your life and the broken relationships that you believe you can't fix, or you don't have enough money, or this has happened or that has happened and it's too late? Or do you say, Lord, thank you for what I have. Thank you that of all people I am rich. I am rich. I have so much because I have you. If God gave us nothing else than Jesus Christ, he's given us everything. And if we see things through his perspective, we see we have everything. And then we have a new day that will break, that will give us opportunity to right those relationships, to change the things of our finance. We can all do that. Now, it doesn't mean we're all going to be financially rich, but we are all financially settled. God has given each one of us enough, but he wants to teach us how to use that enough wisely so that we will have nothing to complain about. And so we need to be focusing on what God has done and what he's doing, and that he's given us a new day, a new life to praise him, to live and to make right some of those choices that we have made that haven't been so good. Because of wrong choices, some of our dreams are not going to come to pass the way we would want them. So what do we do with those shattered dreams? We can become bitter and angry, as I said, or we can look back with joy and thankfulness for the things that God did bring and the opportunities he brings us to bring those dreams alive. If God is Lord in your life, then we need to thank him for what he's done. The best thing to do with the past and broken dreams is to let them go to God. Let them go. Sometimes those dreams are just our dreams and not God's dreams at all. Because if we can dream big things and they're not of God, they'll come to nothing. So it's no good being angry about it, because we don't have the power to be able to make them become alive if they're not God's will. But here at the end of the road, David is still praising the Lord. He has still got a sweet spirit and thanking God for all he's done. He is still praying for others, and David sets a great example for the rest of the saints. So many times people have attitudes that they couldn't help their choices, or that God didn't work with the choices they had, and with that there's only disaster and depression. We need to be praising God. I thank God personally that I've been healed from the destiny of hell and death. Jesus Christ saved me and gave me life, and gave me an opportunity to live that life according to his will, which is beautiful. And over the 54 years that I've been saved, many things have come in my life. Many things that of choices that I made that have been wrong, but many, many more that have been choices as I've grown that God has made right. And there are other things that come into our life that we don't choose. There can be health things, and there have been health things in my life, as with many of you, that I didn't choose. But in looking to God and laying it before him, he enables us to overcome in those things. We don't always overcome in the sense that we overcome that the thing goes away, but we overcome in it. We stand in defiance of it and overcome in it. You see, God is interested in where our spirit's at. You know, you might have a sore toe and the toe doesn't get better, but that doesn't mean you can't praise God. Your spirit is alive. Our spirit is intact. No matter what we go through, the spirit is alive within us. And Jesus reigns in our lives, and that is victory. That is overcoming. I never want to be in a place where I take credit for who I am or what I've done in life. I want to be there to praise God and thank him for what he's done in my life. And you see, when we stand in that place, as we sang this morning, there's freedom. Do you know there's freedom in standing in God's choice? Tremendous spiritual freedom. And on freedom, David learned that freedom is spirit, not flesh. So often we get the two mixed up. People can say, oh, this is a Pentecostal church and we're free in the spirit. But that doesn't mean we do as we like. God has laid boundaries for all things for our protection. If we do as we like, that's freedom in the flesh. We're not here to be free in the flesh. We're here to be free in the spirit. And if we're free in the spirit, everything will be done decently and in order in the accord of God. So we are free. We're free to dance. We're free to sing. We're free to lay our burdens out, that God will take them away, that the chains will be broken off, that we'll be set free. That's freedom. Freedom to praise him. Freedom to love one another. Freedom to forgive one another. Freedom to walk in his choices and his truth. That's what it's all about. And so it's wonderful that David went to be with the Lord with that attitude. David's life concludes not with sadness, but with rejoicing. He leads the congregation in an offering, worship and praise to the Lord, as you'll read in Chronicles. They celebrate his life and they rejoice in the new king. David does not go out with a whimper. He goes out with a bang, with praise and rejoicing. Is that how you want to go? It's how I want to go. I want to go praising God, thanking him for a life that he has led. So if there's areas in our lives, and you see, David didn't know then what God had planned, that he was in direct line with Jesus, that Jesus came from his lineage. From a man who had honoured and served God, a man who said, "You, Lord, are my shepherd, I shall not want." And David at the end of that psalm says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life," and didn't it? Didn't it? What is your testimony today? And you see, whatever your testimony is from your heart, will come the choices that you make for your life. Don't make quick choices. Wait on God. Speak to him. Allow him to lead you by faith. He says if you lack wisdom, to ask of him and he'll give you wisdom so that you can make a choice and a decision that is according to his will. And if we struggle and don't know what that is, we need to read the word of God. It says here in Philippians, just in closing, Philippians 3:11. And so somewhere to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of in me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. And then in chapter 4, verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but that you have not opportunity to show. Now here it says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What a testimony. And that was Paul, who knew all about the fleshly needs, but he was able to say that he pressed on, forgetting what was behind, laying hold of what is ahead, and learning to be content. That's what it's about, being content. It's being content in this very moment. Do you know this very moment is all we have? We can't have the moment before, we can't have the moment ahead of us. We only have this moment. Where is your heart now? We're sitting here in this auditorium in God's house. But where is your heart? Where is your choice being stemmed from? Is it out of here or is it out of here? Is it out of the flesh or is it out of the spirit? David made choices from his spirit. He broke and offered God his sorrow. He begged God for his forgiveness. And you see, David cried out in that psalm and he said, "It's not what man can do to me. It's you, O Lord." And you see, when I do something wrong, God has taught me that while it's unpleasant to go to someone, the biggest interest isn't what they think of me, it's what God thinks of me. That is what we need to be thinking of. We know that Jesus Christ has come to save us and we live under grace, but that doesn't make us free to do as we like. That grace rather binds us to be doing the will of God, that we might honour him and serve him and praise him with a clean and open heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because God sees what we don't see. And so David was able to go to the Lord with a clean heart and praise him for what he had done in his life. Are you relying on the Lord today in every area of your life as God desires you to? There's anyone this morning who has been stirred in any way by this message, please come. I would love to pray with you. If there is anyone here who is not sure of their salvation or who has not yet accepted Jesus as their Saviour, now is the appointed time. You see, God speaks to us very clearly and he wants us to answer him. To answer him. We may not get other chances, but today is the day of salvation if you do not know. And today is a day of freedom. Church, let us be a free people. Let us be a free people, not caught up in the bondages. The world will try to bring all sorts and manner of things upon us, but let us stand in the freedom. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is in Christ. Father God, we just praise you and thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for your word today, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and cuts and separates, Lord, that we might be separate to reign in you, to walk in you, to praise you, that we might be free in you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for each man, woman and child in this place, Lord God, that we have together heard your word, received your word, and that your spirit might work your word within us to bring us, Lord, to where you called us to be in your purpose, to be in your will, to fulfill your plan for our lives. Father, we just give you thanks and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.